Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Inform and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to the show. Now over to Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. That's you. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. He is Cliff Johnson. Hi, Cliff.
Hi, great to meet you, Pat.
How are you, man? Nice to see you. Co-founder and chief development officer of Vacasa, which is a vacation rental business, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
When did this become such a big deal?
Well, we started it back in November of 2009.
I'm talking about Airbnb, Vacasa, all these places.
Oh, yeah. The vacation rental industry as a whole has actually been around for quite a long time, so more than 50 years. But people, it's becoming more in their consciousness now due to companies like Airbnb and HomeAway that are kind of leading the charge in terms of brand recognition.
Right.
And so then there's companies like us that make sure that guests have a great experience from the booking process on down to the stay.
We'll get into it in the next segment, but I think it's easier for me anyway to be able to call you, Clay Cliff, it's Pat. I need a place in Costa Rica. It's mm-hmm. got to be nice. I don't want to spend $1 million, but I'll spend this. And then you take care of the rest, right?
Oh, exactly. You know you're going to get a consistent experience with us because we're professionally managing every property. The difference between us and a company like Airbnb is that on Airbnb, every individual homeowner is managing their own property.
But you're doing the managing.
Yeah, with us, we're doing the managing. We're ensuring that we have a local manager taking care of the home. We have local housekeepers that are taking care of the home. And if you have an issue that comes up during their stay, there's somebody to take care of it. Right.
Well, there's always an issue. We'll get into it.
Sure.
Did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
I think it's something that I always enjoyed from a young age. I didn't have an entrepreneur in my family that really inspired it. It was more of a matter of, looking at the world and looking at how to solve problems in different ways. So for me, entrepreneurship is not just a way to make a profit, but it's more of a way to make an impact on society.
What was your first job?
Actually, a lumberjack, oddly enough.
What?
So we moved from New Jersey to Missouri.
Wait, stop this.
Yeah.
A real lumberjack.
Well, yeah. I was cutting down large oak and maple trees and selling cords of wood for firewood for money. So I did that at 12 and 13 years old out in Missouri. We bought a small farm there. And so
now, when you cut those trees down,
yeah,
do you do it with an electric saw, but how long does it take?
Oh,
I'd say the trunk's this big.
Yeah, and now I live out in Oregon. The trees are a lot bigger, so it's a little different. But back there, an average oak tree would be about like that. Mm-hmm. And you'd get through it in less than a minute with a big chainsaw. And then
less than a minute?
Yeah.
And how do you make sure it's going to fall the right way?
You got to cut it at an angle.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
lumberjack. Did that pay well?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's why I moved on to other things.
What was your first second paint job?
Well, the first, I would say, real job I had, I did a lot of work on the farm, but at 14, I started working at a grocery store in rural Missouri. So we did about $3 million a year in revenue. So it's a pretty small store by grocery store standards.
Everybody needs groceries.
Yeah, even in small rural communities. But there wasn't another grocery store for 30 miles, so there wasn't a lot of competition. But at the same time, people would, as Walmart became popular, people would drive 30 miles to go there instead. So actually, one of the things I learned...
And waste the money they'd save on gas.
Yeah, waste the money on gas and everything, and really destroy kind of the fabrics of the communities that way. So one of the things that inspired me to be an entrepreneur was early on in that experience at the store. So at first, I started as a bag boy. Not much responsibility
sure.
at all. But I worked my way up where I started managing more and more departments. And by the time I left the store, I was running most of the departments in the store. So I was able to make a big difference, you know, on the store's bottom line, but also on the community. People didn't have to travel as far. So I applied some strategies then that we still apply at La Casa today.
I want to hear about those. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. Cliff Johnson's our guest. Co-founder and chief development officer. It sounds so important. For La Casa. Who's your favorite superhero?
Favorite superhero? Oh, that's a great question. I like Batman. I always say because he's flawed. You know, he's more human to me. And as humans,
he's got the money and the cars and the
power. Has all that. But he has a deep-seated resentment towards some things that happened in his past and how to rectify those. So I would say out of all the superheroes, you know, I've always been one to look for more real-life heroes. And I don't know, I've just been a realist from day one. But then again, I've been in theater a lot, too. So I take a lot of heroes from that line.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Two greatest lines. Was it scary to start your own business?
It was. And honestly, you know, so Eric and I started the company together. There were two of us. And he took a lot of the financial risk. I was working as a tax attorney at the time. So for me, it was just a shift out of a career that was very stable and lucrative. But for me, unfulfilling. And so the decision was quite easy for me. I've always kept my fixed expenses quite low so that I have flexibility in life. And just the excitement of starting something new and having the possibility, you know, being endless, that was right. Inspiring for me.
Okay, Steve Jobs doesn't count. Who's your favorite entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think for me...
Doesn't count because that's what everybody mentions.
No, Elon Musk probably. I would say people that...
Why Elon Musk?
Well, for me, it's people that look at the things that most people say are impossible. And then, you know, looking at how do you work to that point? Because I think it's pretty easy to recreate an idea that has already happened. But to come up with an original idea or to piece together a lot of original ideas to make something possible that no one believed was possible is really inspiring.
I love Elon, and he's had a few failures, but he can afford them, and that's the key, right?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing to look at when you're starting a business is to ensure that you know what your limit is. I've seen a lot of businesses. When I worked as a tax attorney, I worked with a lot of mid-sized, small businesses, and they wouldn't know when to stop. When the business was officially failing.
Right.
And so they would basically ruin their personal finances in the process.
Do you have a mentor?
For me, I don't have, I'd say, one specific mentor. I've had a lot of people throughout my life that have inspired me. My mom has always been a big inspiration for me, somebody that was always very open-minded, treated people equally, fairly. Taught me to think differently, you know, to not just take things for face value. And so she's been the biggest inspiration by far. But along the line, you know, I've just met a lot of great people in my life that, you know, you can learn from everybody. And that's something I always take into any conversation.
You're right. I tell my son, you know, everybody you meet has got something to offer. He's a music producer. Write their name down, stay in touch with them. And I've done this my whole life. I've got the greatest phone book ever. I mean, any problem I have, in fact, you're going in it today.
happy to be there.
But, I mean, isn't that true? I mean, you never know who's going to...
Oh, it is. Everybody has a different path that they've taken in life. They've developed expertise through that and just, you know, some where you can get a different perspective on an idea that you have or a problem that you're facing, and that's invaluable. So.
What was the toughest part about stepping out on your own?
I think for me, the toughest part was knowing that, you know, I might put all of this effort into something that might not work. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, what do you have to show for it at the end of the day?
Yeah, but you can't think that way, right?
No, you really can't. I mean, for me, you have to enjoy the journey. If you're enjoying the journey, then you don't have a regret. You can do that. You have to be in the moment for the most part, but you also have to be aware of the future. So it's hard to balance those two things, you know. And I think one of the things at La Casa that we're constantly working on is should we be more strategic or more opportunistic? And I think the general rule of thumb is to be as strategic as possible with business, but that the ability to work opportunities into that strategy is really important.
It's always interesting on what your priorities are when you're starting. You know, I mean, you can blow up if you have too many priorities.
Oh, certainly. And so we, you know, I think there's a lot of talk about the 80-20 rule in business, and I'm not a big business vernacular guy. You know, I like to just get things done rather than focus on naming the things that were getting done. But there's the 80-20 rule.
That's why you didn't go to business school, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't go to business school. I went to law school instead. But we follow the 80-20 rule pretty well, which is, you know, we now have a core business that runs pretty well. So that's 80% of our effort is focused on improving that core business. But then we keep 20% for that experimentation so that we can constantly keep the differentiators alive. You know, what makes us different than every other vacation rental management company out there? So we have to be able to answer that truthfully to ourselves every day. And if we're not constantly evolving to that next step, then we're slowly becoming more like the norm.
Right.
And so
you can't get so concerned with evolving up that you forget about the daily.
Yeah, you still
journey.
Have a core business to run.
Right.
And you have to take care of all those people that are relying on you, your employees, your guests, your homeowners. In our case, we have three major stakeholders that we have to make sure we're taking care of them. So what we're building our business on is a strong foundation.
Did you break out of school for this or did you finish school?
No, I finished. I went through, you know, I went straight to undergrad after high school and then straight to law school after undergrad. And worked for 3.5 years as an attorney before we started this company.
What was that like?
For me, it made it clear that I did not want to continue to work as an attorney forever.
Right.
I like the work that I enjoyed as an attorney. You don't get paid for, so I still work at a nonprofit on the board of a nonprofit for free, working to empower people in, you know, basically that are economically challenged, that might be in third world countries, things like that. But I came out of law school with a bit of debt, and I had to make a living. I enjoyed my work as a tax attorney, but more because I was working with the businesses and helping them figure out how to improve that.
Cliff Johnson, good luck to you.
Oh, thank you.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. See you next time.
Are you living with a growing prostate? Do you pee more often than you used to? Do you wake up to go? Be honest, is there a drop in your romantic life? Problems with a growing prostate don't go away on their own, so you need to call for a free bottle of Super Beta Prostate, the number one non-prescription formula for your prostate. A recent survey of Super Beta Prostate users shows that over 86% of men report waking less frequently to use the bathroom. With Super Beta Prostate, you could have less urge to urinate and an improvement in your romantic life. Try it free. Pay only shipping and handling. Call 1-800-420-8160. Super Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same active ingredient in just one Super Beta Prostate tablet. Hurry, this free offer won't last. Call 1-800-420-8162. That's 1-800-420-8162.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any
disease.
Most
Americans with health insurance still get it through their employers. That's more than 177 million Americans who have access to the kind of affordable, high-quality care that everyone says we need. But the tax incentives that employers get to provide this quality coverage is under threat. That's why the Society for Human Resource Management and 220 of its members were in Washington this month to urge Congress to protect and strengthen employer-provided plans that most Americans and their families depend on. Senior Advisor, Government Relations for SHRM, Chitrain Bearable.
Effective health care reform should expand access to affordable coverage, lower costs, and build on the success of employer-sponsored health insurance. Taxing benefits is not a better way.
The Society for Human Resource Management believes that an affordable, innovative, an efficient healthcare system is essential to ensuring a healthy, productive, and competitive workforce. To learn more about the Society for Human Resource Management's policy agenda, visit SHRM.org. That's SHRM.org.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-373-0345. That's 800-373-0345. Again, 800-373-0345.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining me right now is Elliot Taylor, the owner of Elliot Companies. Great to have you on the show, brother.
Thank you. Likewise.
So Elliot Companies, what is that? You guys own a bunch of different assets and organizations. What is it?
It's just a kind of term I wrapped around a bunch of different companies that are all vertically integrated in the food and beverage hospitality arena.
How did you get into that?
You know, so
you're a young guy. How do you have Elliot Companies? You own all these different things.
Yeah, man. I mean, it just one thing after the next kind of happened when I was, my family is in the industry of building restaurants, hotels, and nightclubs and bars and casinos.
That helps.
So, I grew up in that industry. I was, basically born in a kitchen, watching chefs and throwing food at different people and kind of learning that business from the get-go. And, I fell in love with it. My father always said, the world runs on restaurants. And if you really think about it, your first date, whether you're getting engaged or having a business meeting or starting a war, whatever it may be, it usually happened around breaking bread. And so I really just fell in love with that whole world and started to figure out ways that I could bring value to that industry.
I love how everybody, no matter what their business is, they live it and they breathe it in such a way where it doesn't matter if I'm interviewing somebody about a nail salon and they own all the biggest nail salons, or in your case,
that picture.
Restaurants, they're always like, the world revolves around.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Everyone's
right.
Got nails.
Whatever it may
restaurant.
Be.
Restaurant. Yeah, no, yeah. I just love that. So take me back to the beginning of your story real quick. I'm always curious to know when I'm sitting with somebody, when did the journey start? Like for me, my journey started around 14. That was one big chapter of a tipping point, and the next one was 18. When did you have sort of that light bulb moment and you were like, this entrepreneurship thing, this is for me. This is what I'm going to commit to.
Yeah, I've always been trying to do something from the day I can remember. I was trying to sell a CD or a toy or whatever in the sandbox, running out of shovel, whatever it may have been, I was trying to do.
So you were
something.
An entrepreneur 2 years old.
I was trying to do some business, from day one. But, some of the bigger projects that occurred and what really drug me into kind of the food and beverage industry when I was in high school, I really wanted to get into wine. But obviously, not being the age of 21 in the U.S., that's not really an option. And so I started looking, and the next best thing over was olive oil. And so I fell into olive oil at a young age. I started taking classes at UC Davis. I reached out to COOC, the California Olive Oil Council, started working with them, and became one of the youngest professional olive oil tasters in high school.
So you're like an olive oil sommelier.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
I've
recently stopped being on the council this past year just because I'm just so swamped. I mean, we taste every Thursday and approve oils, whether it being virgin or extra virgin, et cetera. Yeah, so that's kind of where it started, and then that went into an array of different activities. I mean, I wasn't.
So, do you go to like a restaurant and they give you like the olive oil and the bread, and you're just like, this is despicable. Get rid of this.
No, I mean,
not a snobby olive oil sommelier.
No, I mean, essentially with olive oil, I mean, it's everything that you think about olive oil. What we've been trained in the United States to think about olive oil is actually the opposite. From what
do you mean?
What I've been learning, I mean. you know, people will come to me, know that I taste olive oil, and they'll say, hey, man, I've got this bottle of olive oil I've had for 5 years. Well, olive oil really only lasts about 12 months once it's open, or even less, because it oxidizes and goes bad and gets rancid. And so it's just, it's interesting watching. And they show me, look at how beautifully gold it is, where, you know, sunlight harms olive oil. And so you want to have it in a dark black bottle or a darker colored bottle to protect it, keep it somewhere cool. Once you open it, it only lasts about 6 months. So it's interesting. And then there's all these myths and legends about virgin, extra virgin, the differences and everything. So it gets pretty in-depth. And, you know,
we'll have to do a whole segment.
We'll have to do a whole segment eventually on that, yeah.
For the enthusiasts out there. So you got into that. Then what came next?
You know, I fell into extreme sports. I was, you know, I was on motorcycles first, motocross. And, you know, I dropped the bike one day. My mom saw it. And the next day, the bike was gone.
Yeah.
And I was pretty upset for several weeks. And then I somehow snuck myself into automobiles with a cage around me, which was a little bit more
even
acceptable.
More safe.
Yeah, right. But around that, I wanted to do some sort of business in that. So I came up with some idea to sponsor extreme athletes, and I started, you know, wanted to make t-shirts and hats and whatever it may be, jerseys around that. And so I remember ordering, you know, 1,000 shirts and paying a designer, not getting contracts signed, and just kind of going all in and, you know, diving in head first and seeing what happens. And it was cool. I mean, I was sponsoring Adam Andretti in IndyCar Racing Series. I was traveling around all these major race sites across the country, and it was an epic time of life, and I met a lot of people, learned a lot of hard lessons, failed miserably in that business. I still have shirts to this day and hats to this day in my garage, just sitting there in boxes of them. But I love it. I'll never get rid of them. Maybe I'll donate them one day to something. But, you know, I look at them every once in a while. I pass by them, and it's always a reminder to, you know, to remember the hard times of that business and what I learned during, you know, going through that whole process of that industry and then applying that to everything else that I've done, you know.
Elliot Taylor is joining us right now. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I just can't believe that you used to be a olive oil sommelier back, what age, 14, 16?
Yeah, I mean, I got into it about, 16 or so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Elliott Companies owns food and beverage businesses.
Yeah.
And you also have a background in construction as well?
Yeah, no, my father.
How did you get into that?
My father's been in general contracting for, you know, several generations. So I fell into that. You know, I was tossed on job sites with a hammer and with different trades from day one. And so, you know, fell into that industry. But it taught me a lot of hard work. I mean, it taught me to, you know, respect everybody's position. And I think that's something really important. I mean, a lot of people ask people to do things for them right now for their companies or their industries that they wouldn't do on their own. I'll never ask somebody to do something for me that I wouldn't personally do. You know, I was maybe thrown into a room of, you know, 2,000 square foot room, and I swept that floor. And I did that at age 15 or 17 or 18. And now at, you know, the age of 26, I have, you know, an office space, and I ask somebody to come here and sweep this floor in the next hour, and they say it can't be done. And I said, no, it can be done, because I've done it before. And so, you know, just going through from totally, you know, the bottom of the spectrum, from the mailroom all the way
started
up to
the bottom.
Elliot's here. Yeah, to demo, to just sweeping floors, man, and it teaches you a lot about
it humbles you.
The respect of everybody's position and how important it is to the business from down low to all the way to the top to the executive level.
So I know how big of an advantage it can have. It doesn't always, but I know how big of an advantage it can have when you come from a family of entrepreneurs, whether it's your mom or your dad. And so you and I are both around the same age, and both of our fathers are entrepreneurs. So I'm curious, what is some of the best advice? It could be two or three things. It could be one thing. What's some of the best advice your dad's given you?
Yeah, I mean, my dad's given me so much amazing advice. And, you know, to back up on that point that you just mentioned, I mean, it is difficult sometimes, too, from being from a family with heavy entrepreneurship or heavy success rates, because you're immediately assumed to be pumping out that quality.
You're held at a different level.
You're held at a totally higher level, and especially within those companies that your family's a part of. I mean, you're always the owner's son or the owner's daughter, whatever it may
be. And sometimes, I'm so curious for you, what has inspired and led you to wanting to achieve the level of success you have, when it would have been so easy for you to stay comfortable?
There was massive shoes to fill right out of the gate. I mean, with a successful family and a successful father. And I think, you know, one thing he's always told me from day one, I always had ideas. I always had, you know, brilliant concepts. And it's something I mentioned earlier, you know, measure success by results. I've always been somebody that, and it's become ingrained in myself now when I talk to people and, you know, people I'm working with or employees or other organizations that we're partnering with, they're talking about brilliant ideas and concepts. But until those are implemented and you see some sort of result from some sort of data from that idea, that concept that you put into action, that's when you can really say, okay, it was successful or I'm really going for it, you know, and actually putting that concept to paper.
I love that, man. Yeah. You're a hungry, driven, young hustler. I can't wait to pick your brain on some of the business stuff in a second when we get back.
Definitely. Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-993-8236. That's 800-993-8236.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-993-8236.
Here I have in front of me a glass of Superbeats. Now, I've been turned on to Superbeats by my buddy Sully. You know Bob Sullivan from the Big Biz Show. He swears by this stuff because he's a bike rider. Super beets or beets are loaded with dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric oxide in the body. Now, I'm no chemist, but I have heard from my wife, who likes to think she's a chemist when it comes to this stuff, that these nitrates are really, really good for you. Well, according to the Super beets folks, they are, and it's the most convenient way to get them. So call this number, 800-201-7450. 800-201-7450, or just go to raybeats.com. You're going to get a free book. It's called Beats, the Odds, and you get a 90-day supply for 60 days worth of money and a money-back guarantee. Here's to Super Beats. God bless. Wish me luck.
Imagine a store that lets you get anything you wanted. An HD flat-screen TV, a high-capacity, ultra-quiet washer and dryer, a complete living room set. And imagine if you didn't need a lick of credit to get it. That store simply believed in you. Imagine if they even delivered it, set it up, and serviced it at no additional cost. Well, that store exists. That's Rent-A-Center. Imagine that. No credit needed. Affordable payment plans. Delivery, setup, and service included. Imagine new possibilities at Rent-A-Center. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-635-4993. That's 800-635-4993. Call now at 800-635-4993 to get a free brochure. 800-635-4993.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining me right now is Elliot Taylor, the owner of Elliot Companies. Give us a quick recap. What does Elliot Companies do?
Vertically integrated in the food and beverage industry, everything from investment in restaurants to alcohol brands, specifically wine.
Curious, curveball question here. What's the first app you check first thing in the morning?
It's mail right away, honestly, and it's bad. I've actually read that you need to wake up and do your shower, whatever you may be doing, and then get to emails. Yeah. But I mean, I wake up and I literally grab my phone and I'm sitting there.
We're just
there.
So conditioned, right?
And I'm trying to see what are the major bad issues of the morning I got to deal with right away, and then that gets you out of bed real quick.
That's true. Yeah. It puts you in that reactive state.
It does,
right?
Yeah.
So how do you stay in a proactive state of mind in your business? I think we were just talking about how you wake up in the morning and your habits and your rituals first thing off the bat can determine if you're going to be reactive throughout the day or proactive. So as a young, successful guy, when you have so many distractions and so many things pulling for your attention, how do you stay focused and proactive?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the biggest projects that I have right now is a Mexican wine. It's a wine from Mexico. It's called Pavo Real Wines. And it's one of the first wines out of Mexico in the United States that's nationally distributed. And with that project, there's so many logistic items that you got to deal with. I mean, shipping to customs, to tax IDs, to brokers, to import license, to you name it. And those things take time. They're not like I can just code it and throw it up on the wall and we're good to go and HTML5 it. It's very projected oriented. Yeah. You got to be very smart about what's going on in strategy. And so something I've learned to love is bad news. I love bad news. Mm. I start every morning with bad news.
I love that you said that, because when somebody asks, and I don't remember which one of my mentors told me this, but when somebody asks, do you want the good news or the bad news? We've all been asked that
at
some point
in our
life.
Bad news out of the gate.
I always say, lay it on me. Give me the bad news.
Yeah.
Because if you can learn and condition yourself to always overcome and deal with any of the obstacles, fears, frustrations, and bad news in your life, you can obviously handle the good news.
Absolutely.
So how did you come up with that?
No, I mean, I had a former business partner of mine would say that to me all the time. He was just like, I love bad news. And it stuck with me. And it's been ingrained in my mind. And now I think it's really perception. A lot of people are afraid of bad news. They push it off. They say, okay, I'll deal with that tomorrow. I'll deal with that next week, next quarter, whatever it may be.
I look at it as, do you want to get stronger? Or do you want to condition comfort in being weak?
Definitely.
So when somebody says, do you want the bad news or the good news? If I pick the good news, it's like, I want to be comfortable and weak.
Yeah.
Somebody says, can you handle the bad news? I go, bring it on.
No, bring it on. Take those hits right out of the gate and know what you're dealing with. Know what kind of, ring you're in the morning. Yeah. And, and it also it's very important to show the people that you're working with, that you're partnering with, your employees, whatever it may be, that you are willing to take on those problems out of the gate. Because if you push off bad news and people see that happening constantly, people that you're working with or employed by you, I'm telling you, they're not going to bring you the bad news because they know you don't want to hear it.
Exactly.
And so they're going to hide it. And then before you know it, Friday comes along, you get 10 emails that are all problems that started on Monday, and you're wondering why this didn't get dealt with.
And you have a pile of bad news.
Exactly. And then you're there through the weekend. But I'm there through the weekend anyways. But, it'd be nice to just take those problems out of the gate, deal with them, and then the rest of the day is, just promotions and sales.
Speaking of problems, have you ever had a client or an employee or a partner or maybe even a family member, because I know you came from a family business, that's been a problem, that's been an issue, and as a result, you had to end up firing them?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean,
it's almost inevitable at some point throughout business. So I'm just curious for you, do you have a perspective or a context that you could take us to where you're like, this one time we had a partner who was, maybe our biggest service provider and we had to cut ties with them because of a reason, or we had this employee and they were super talented, but they were just a negative, toxic drain on the business.
No, it's very difficult working with friends. I'm pro partnering with friends, but hiring friends has always been very difficult.
And there's a distinction there.
There's a huge distinction there, and people sometimes don't understand that distinction. And being somewhat younger in the game, you have a lot of your friends constantly wanting to work with you, or hey man, hire me. Hey man, put me on there. Let me help you out. And it just never works out. Honestly, I don't know any situation that I've ever hired a friend or asked a friend to help me with a certain project that I'm going to compensate them for their services, because it's just, you can't separate that friend and employee bond. I love that everybody that I work with are my friends. They're a community with me. They're a family, and I respect that. But it's very difficult, with childhood friends or people that you are really comfortable with hanging out with on the regular basis to then say, hey, I need this done now.
That's tough.
How do you approach that the right way? And it just, then you're not focusing on sales or promoting or, scaling the business. You're focused on dealing with internal issues, which just slows you down.
Yeah. What do you think is the hardest part about being able to juggle all the different things in business? I see people complain, oh, it's so hard. I got my 9-to-5 job and then I get off work and I just don't have any time to do anything. I got to make sure I watch TV for 4 hours.
Yeah.
How do you, as a truly productive and busy entrepreneur, balance everything? You've got multiple companies. Most people struggle to even not only have one business, but make one business successful. And you're doing it with multiple. So I'm curious, how do you do that?
You just do it, you know? And I don't really know other explanation than that. I mean, I'm, you know, it's...
There's got to be some tactical things that you do. You have a stronger mindset. You know, you condition a level of focus and discipline that most people can't. One of the things I noticed already is you said, I'll take the bad news over the good news any day.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things right there. So it's like, you know, when you have all these businesses, bad news is inevitable. Fears, frustrations, stress, what most people will call problems, you look at it as an opportunity. So that's one thing right there about your mindset.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, what else?
No, I think something that I do that allows me to just, you know, relax a little bit in the evenings is I, you know, when I'm leaving the office, it's usually late. I used to just go home and think about everything I had to do tomorrow. And I'm stressing about, okay, I got that on Tuesday, this tomorrow, this is due then, et cetera. And so what I've done now, what I do now, is I go in with right before I walk out of the office and lock the door, first one in, last one out, I write down exactly what I need to do tomorrow. First objectives of the day.
Yeah.
What needs to be done immediately upon 6 a.m.? What needs to be done throughout the day? What needs to be touched on? And then, you know, I write those out. It's you know, it's divulged out of my brain onto the paper. I know it's on my desk sitting there ready to be checked off, and I can go home and, like, chill out a little bit. So I come in the morning knowing that it's just kind of dialed. It's there for me, so I can just jump on it as opposed to trying to remember from the night before.
So you end your day by planning the next day.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah.
So when it comes to goals, because that's kind of what we're talking about here, you end your day planning the next day. So it's kind of like a very short-term goal.
Yeah.
What am I going to accomplish for tomorrow? I'm curious, in your businesses, when you are going to set a benchmark or a monthly or quarterly or annual goal, how do you go about doing that to make sure that this is a goal that is going to allow our company and our employees to grow? And then how do you tie in everybody to make sure that they're in alignment with the achievement of that goal? Because it's not easy to do.
It's not easy. I mean, you've got to keep it very positive, and you know, it stresses a lot of people out when you set goals, and everybody gets anxious and everything. But, you know, I think you've got to bring everybody together, similar to like a sporting event, and just get everybody riled up and pump it out and just say, hey, guys, we can do this. We can do this. And whatever it takes, we'll do it. And you got to be willing to ride that. You got to captain the ship. You got to be able to go into the storm, ride through the storm, and ride through the sunny days as well. And so just leading the pack that way and having a smile on your face, no matter what's going on at home or what issues you have internally, never bring that to work, man. Never bring that and show that to other people. You always should have a smile. And when everybody asks you, hey, how are you doing today? I'm doing great. No matter what's happening, you know, I'm doing great.
I love that, because you've got to be that guy in your business. As we come to a wrap, brother, I just want maybe one or two sentences for you for the aspiring entrepreneur. Let's call him John.
Yeah.
John's with us right now. He's got a 9-to-5 job. He's dying to start his business and turn his idea into something profitable. What's one or two sentences for him?
Well, be willing to work every single day. Get the whole Monday through Friday weekends out of your mindset. You know, be okay with telling your friends on Friday and Saturday, I'm not going to go to the club, or I'm not going to go to the bar. I'm going to sit at home and I'm going to do this work. And, you know, you've got to put in the time. So it just doesn't happen on its own, and no one's going to do it for you. You cannot rely on anybody else but yourself. So every single thing you want done, you better start that off.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining me right now is Elliot Taylor, the owner of Elliot Companies. Give us the real quick recap. I know you're in the food and wine industry and beverages, but what do you guys do?
Well, the big project right now we're focused on is a wine brand coming out of Mexico, one of the first of its kind, and we're really pushing that right now. There's, you know, 70,000 Mexican restaurants in the United States, and there's no Mexican wine. You go to an Italian restaurant.
I was
going to
say, you said Mexican wine, and I was like, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, and what's mind-blowing is the oldest winery in the history of the Western Hemisphere. And so, you know, it's interesting. They've been making wine long before there was a Napa Valley or Santa Barbara or Russian River. And so it's interesting. I mean, it's just a niche, and I always found there's you know, riches and niches.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's 70,000+ Mexican restaurants in the United States. You go to an Italian restaurant, you get Italian wine. French restaurant, French wine. Why wouldn't it be the same for a Mexican restaurant?
Go to a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I'm always trying to find the niches and find something interesting there. And when I heard about Mexican wine, I dove into it.
I love that. And I'm curious to know if you align with one of the beliefs that I align with in one of my mentors, who actually was one of the founding board members of a multi-billion dollar restaurant chain. Took it from one restaurant to over 2,000. And I speak all over the nation at different colleges and stuff to young adults to inspire and empower them. And I asked him, I said, you know, a lot of the times young adults say, you know, should I become an entrepreneur? How do I know if I should be an entrepreneur or not? And I asked him that question. I said, you know, having so many years of experience and being so successful, how does somebody become an entrepreneur? Like, when do they know? And I was like, what's your advice? You know, if all these young adults are asking you, how do I know if I should be an entrepreneur? He said, don't do it.
Yeah.
He said, if anyone's even asking, tell them no. He says, because 99.999% of people do not have the DNA to go after what it's going to take to become an entrepreneur. And I thought, wow, this is coming from this amazing, you know, businessman. And he's saying people should not become entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, going back to the point, I mean, I've never asked, should I be an entrepreneur or anything like that? I just, you know, and today I don't even know if I'd use that terminology. I mean, I'm just attacking business ideas that I'm into and just going for it.
You're just a businessman.
Just going for it. Yeah. Capitalist on it, you know? And I think if you're, you know, if you're wanting to become an entrepreneur, just maybe take that whole concept of wanting to become an entrepreneur out of your mind and just pick a project, pick an idea that you have that you think is cool and just focus on that. Don't focus on being associated with an entrepreneur or being called a...
Don't worry about the label,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Just focus on making an unbelievable product at the highest quality that you can, creating good relationships, having an unbelievable reputation in the industry that you're going into. And create something that's a legacy. You know, don't try and flip anything. Don't get into it and say, I'm going to make this and make a quick buck here.
Don't make a dollar, make a difference.
Yeah,
it's a saying that
I
try to live by.
Yeah, and try and, you know, whatever concept or idea you're working on right now, think about maybe passing that on to your kid one day or passing that on to somebody else.
I love that. Blowing me away. Elliot Taylor in the house, man. 26 years old. I appreciate you for coming on the show.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Tired of being in a creative rut? Here are a few tips to get out of that funk. I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Change your routine. While routines are great and probably necessary in many areas of our lives, they can also inhibit our creativity. Sometimes all you need to boost your innovative juices is to change things up a little bit here and there. Cancel your first meeting tomorrow and get an extra hour of sleep. Perhaps all your mind needs is a little rest to access untapped ideas. Force yourself to come up with new ideas. Nothing should be too crazy. Just write and move on to the next concept. By sticking with this exercise and not stopping until your target number is achieved, you build creative momentum. When you're finished, stop and evaluate your list. You'll be surprised at how often this process unleashes ideas that wouldn't otherwise have been unearthed. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack, when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And because Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their most popular set, complete with a razor, one of their world-famous blades, shaving cream, and post-shave balm for free if you cover shipping. A total value of $20 at no cost to you with code 1140 at checkout. Their way of saying thank you for trying them. How is Harry's able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures the blades. That's how. Go to harrys.com now and enter code 1140 at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's harrys.com, code 1140.
Put America first. With the new president, we have a new theme. In this day and age, putting America first is not selfish or greedy. It is self-preservation. It's preserving the Constitution and the rule of law. The opposite is putting America second and sacrificing ourselves and our country for someone else, ignoring our Constitution and the rule of law to try to satisfy those who will not be satisfied until America is no more. Contrary to progressive ideologues, putting America first does not mean we are not generous, caring, and compassionate. Putting America first starts with the individual and ends with the world. If one wants the world economy to do well, America's economy must do well. And for America's economy to do well, the individual economy must do well. An economy of one, if you will. I'm Gary Rathman. This is an economy of 1 minute.
Learn more at aneconomyofone.com.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I have my own business, so I wear lots of hats. Now I'm wearing my office manager hat because I need supplies.
Well, Staples has everything you need.
Now I'm putting on my CFO hat because I can't overspend.
And you won't. Right now, buy two, get one free on all 10 ream cases of paper.
All my hats, and I would like to thank you.
They are welcome.
Staples, everything you need for business at great prices. And now, buy two, get one free on all 10 ream paper cases. In-store only, plus tax where applicable. Ends 4-1-17.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Allergy congestion, cut grass, cat on the sofa, dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs, this is CEO Roundtable on Business Rockstars. I'm Laurel Mintz, here with Luz Rivera, founder of DIY Girls, and Kelsey Dorey, CEO of Vow to Be Chic. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So we're going to talk really quickly about some of the best practices and tips and tricks that you guys both have for being the founders of your company, okay? So let's start with corporate culture. Can you each tell me a little bit about what your corporate culture is and how you established it at your company?
My organization, you know, we have about eight. We're a small organization still, but the directors and, you know, program coordinators, I think they want to have a say in decision making. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of employee that I'm attracting, right? It's like a startup organization. They want to be part of the decision-making process. So I really encourage that. Mm-hmm. And it's not just me telling them what to do. We also have a very flexible work environment, and we use Slack.
You know, you were just talking about that.
Oh, okay.
It's a great platform.
I mean,
yeah.
I feel like I run the company on Slack, right, in terms of communicating amongst the team. And we just started using it this year, and it's worked so great for
us. How many
people
do you have on your team?
There's eight.
Eight. Okay, that's the same as me. Kelsey, I know you've got 20. What about your corporate culture? Tell us a little bit about how you instilled that.
Yeah, I think it's partly having great leaders overseeing each of the different areas, and I work closely with them, and they work closely with their team, so that's great. We have a pretty open culture. I mean, we sit in a big open room together, so you can kind of overhear different things as the day goes on.
Concept.
Exactly. Yep. And it keeps things, you know, we're pretty transparent across the company, so I think that's great. And also just making sure that we get time to spend together. So we have something where when you start at the company, you get a coffee card, and what you do with that is you take out every single person on the team for a coffee date to get to know them.
I love that.
And you can talk about work. You cannot talk about work. It's just to get to know people. So as you're sitting there doing your job, if you have a problem or a question, you know everyone around you, so you feel comfortable going and ask them questions.
Was that your idea? That's so clever.
Yeah, I think I heard it from a different company. I read about it somewhere, so I can't take credit for it, but I love it. So we instituted it.
Well, I think you and I might steal that one, right?
Yeah, I know.
So as entrepreneurs, we all have to stay really passionate about what it is that we're doing. I know that we all have days where we actually don't want to get out of bed or maybe don't want to do the work that we have to do. There are some days that are fantastic and other days that aren't. How do you stay passionate about what it is that you're doing?
I mean, I think there's just always a million things to do. So if you're having that off day, then redirect and focus on getting some other stuff done. But, there's so many things you need to do across a wide spectrum of areas that you can just focus on a different area that you think is fun, right? So if I'm having an off day, so a lot of times just talking to someone on my team helps. So I'll say, you know what? Hey, let's go do a quick check-in. And I'll take someone on my team and we'll go walk around the block and do a quick check-in and see how they're doing, see if they have thoughts for me. Really connecting with the people on my team always tends to make me feel better.
That's great. And you work with so many young women. I'm sure that helps inspire you.
It really does. You know, a lot of times I am away. You know, I'm having meetings with potential funders and partners. And what motivates me is to, you know, actually go into a classroom or to a space when I see the girls and talk to them and they tell me why they love our programs. So that really motivates me.
Yeah, I love that. So let's talk about some of the mistakes we've made as CEO. So I'm going to ask you to fill in the following sentence. The biggest mistake I made as a CEO was?
I think expecting my team to also go through, you know, how hard it is to, you know, like thinking that they're also the CEO in some way, right? And I think they wanted more structure or, you know, things in place and me thinking, well, we're all in this together, right? And partly they are, but I think as the founder and CEO, it's really you that you'll do anything for the company. Right?
I would agree with that. I had a moment where one of my employees said, you know, you really come to me with all the issues in the company, and I'm not the CEO. You kind of need to deal with that on your own. And it was a real eye-opening experience.
Definitely, you know, finding someone outside of the company to talk to about how you really feel. Right?
That's why they invented advisors, right?
Yeah, and you know, I've been working with a coach and, you know, and having someone outside so that I'm not always talking to my team and treating them as a peer in the decision, in that part of the decision making and the tough part.
Got it. Kelsey, the biggest mistake I made as a CEO was?
I think one of them is, and I think we probably all make mistakes and wish we had done things differently pretty regularly, but I think one of them is wanting to get everything done all at once and have everything happen all at once. Like, you have this big vision and you want to be there. You want to be 5 years down the road. You want it all done right away, all happening right away. And so actually breaking it down and realizing how much time and effort it's going to take to get there is something that, you know, prioritizing and scoping things out. But I think for me, it's always like, I want everything done right away.
So let's talk about scaling your companies. You're at 8 people, you're at 20. You just got a huge round of funding, which is amazing and going to give you some runway for some time. Yep. What's next and how did you scale from the one-woman operation that you were 2 years ago to where you are now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it was lots of, you know, interns and people helping out and all of that good stuff as we could go and really muscling your way through it. I think a lot of startups have to do that. Now that we have the funding, it's really about hiring and let's find great people. Let's make sure we add more great people onto our team and let's build out those processes and systems that we need. We grew 10x year over year and we want to do that again next year. So how do we, you know, we need our systems to catch up with, you know, where we are now, but also where we want to be 1 year and a few years down the road. So it's really about the systems and the people and making those investments that'll take us even to the next level.
Well, with 10x growth, your investors must be very happy. I want to be on that team.
Yeah.
And do you have plans to scale? I would guess so.
Definitely. I mean, probably more in the direction of offering our curriculum and projects. We just launched a club kit where anyone, anywhere could order a kit where they can do hands-on projects with girls, 10 girls, so they can run their own DIY girls club. And we just last week received an order from someone in Mexico and then someone at an Air Force base in Germany. And to do with kids there.
So you productized your service offering, and that allows you to scale on the retail side, basically. Interesting.
So, you know, it brings in revenue to the organization, you know, to help run our current programs, but then we're also reaching girls all over and without having to grow the team 10 times, right? So that's our strategy.
Well, thank you guys so much for all of this feedback. Having great passion about your business, being able to scale appropriately, use fundraising properly. So exciting. Thank you for being here with us. Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is CEO Roundtable on Business Rockstars.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
BizTalk Radio.